Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing that you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are Scrubbing In.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Today, we have someone who's going to really help clear the air on all this producer stuff, because we have one of the executive producers of all iHeartRadio podcasts.
That's right.
And she is Danielle Romo.
Yay. I'm so happy to be scrubbing in, guys.
I can't believe this is the first time, like officially.
Officially, yeah. I've been on a couple times, but not like this.
So we're going to set you up for everybody that's listening. So you started as a promo assistant at iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
2017. And actually, technically, I was an intern for Ryan's production company before
Secret,
that.
Oh, Ryan, wow. Seacrest, so, Productions.
Yeah. So that was kind of how it all happened.
Mm-hmm. Then you went to NBC Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back to iHeart.
Mm-hmm.
To oversee all of the podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You married John in October of 2018. What? John.
It's funny. This is actually really funny because his Instagram handle is Jay.
Yeah.
It's John.
I knew it was John, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, I have said the wrong name.
If you say Jay, he thinks you're cool because his entire family calls him Jay.
Oh,
so it's like you're kind of in.
I was like, I have called him the wrong name. So okay,
people call Robbie Ryan all the time because his Instagram is R-Y, like R Yadigar, so it looks like R Y A. So everybody thinks his name's Ryan, which is very funny. So they got married in 2018. This year marks 12 years together. And then you guys gave birth to your first child, Mateo, on October 1st, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason why I wanted to have you on the podcast is because, to me, I find the idea of maternity leave so wildly fascinating. And I think especially for a career woman like you, who you work so hard. You work day in, day out, and you've been like so career driven, and then you have a baby, and then what, you just like turn off all your emails and you just go into like this abyss, and then you just have to come back to it. Like, I just, the whole thing, I remember when you came back from maternity leave, I wanted to ask you all these questions, and I was like, I think this could be an interesting conversation, mm-hmm, on the podcast.
Yeah, no, for sure. You just like reemerge back into your old life, or at least try to. But I remember Tanya came to visit me maybe when Mateo was like 8 weeks old, and she's like, tell me everything. She like looked into my soul and she was like, how was it? What happened in the delivery? Like asking me all these questions. I was like, Tanya, I need another day. This is for another day.
Is this
so
the day?
Today's the day.
Yeah.
Wait, so I've never even thought about the idea that you go on maternity leave. Do you just turn everything off?
You have to.
Yeah. So And it's not like my choice. Yeah. So literally the before you deliver, you have to give HR like a date of your last day, if you even know what that is. Some people don't, obviously. But once they find out that you're taking your maternity day or leave starting this day, that very day, they completely shut off all your emails. So like you have no access to anything.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're just cut off. And then they tell you your coworkers and your boss that they can't reach out to you and about work or anything like that. And hopefully some people like abide by that. But
it's kind of weird too, because for a lot of people, your social circle is your coworkers. And so suddenly, it's a silence.
Yeah. Like our boss, she was like, how am I not going to be able to talk to you? But I think they do that from like a legality perspective. Mm-hmm. So the day that I went on maternity leave, which was on a Monday, and I delivered him that Saturday, I had no access to my emails. That was it. Bye.
And I remember this with Sissany and with Patty when they would come back. How many emails did you have when you got back?
Oh, my God. Talk about like the day I came back from maternity leave and I turned on my emails, I just instant sweat. Like, I'm one of those people that I don't leave like a notification. Like the red flag gives me the worst anxiety. It was upwards of like 10K plus, which is a big deal for me. And so I just went to October, November and just deleted everything from those two months. I didn't even look at them. There was no way I was going to be able to. And I just focused on December and January. And that's kind of how I dealt with that.
One of my emails, I have 32,000.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Instant panic. Like, that would drive me bonkers.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm too far gone. I just let it increase.
Ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, just let it ride. Add up.
I want you to be, like, super, super honest, because these are thoughts that have, like, gone on in my head. When you, obviously, after you have birth, you just care about your baby. Were you even thinking about work or, like, I think a lot of women, and I know some women in the industry that have gone on maternity leave, they feel like they're not threatened that they're not going to get their job back, but like scared that whoever's replacing them is doing a better job.
Yeah, no, totally. All that goes through your brain. I think the wild and crazy thing is you have your baby, and then that week after, and I don't know how it is for different states, but this is just for California. When you go on maternity leave, the way you get paid is by through state disability. And you can't file for it until you have your baby. And you have to do it within 10 days of having your baby. So it's like, or I think it's 10, either it's 7 or 10. So literally you have your baby, and the next day I was like, oh shoot, I gotta file for state disability.
Oh my God.
Like literally that's what you have to do. And you have to get all these papers from your doctor and the hospital and like all this stuff to submit in order to get paid or, you know, to get money and survive. So literally the first week after, you're trying to deal with that and like get all your paperwork together and like send it into the state and like deal with all that kind of stuff. And then after that, you just, you know, are dealing with a baby. I would say I was really, really pleasantly surprised with myself. Cause like you said, for my whole life, I've been such a career focused person. I thought it was going to be really, really hard for me to step away and not be so involved. But I was pleasantly surprised that like my priority completely shifted. Like, I didn't even think about work, to be completely honest with you. I had this little thing that was taking my attention for 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. 7 days a week. And I would say, like, 8 weeks in, I slowly started to emerge out of the fog and be like, okay, what's going on? Like, what's happening on Scrubbing In? You know, like, let me listen to a podcast. You know, you slowly start to emerge from the fog. But those first 8 weeks, at least for me, were just hyper focused on trying to figure out this new reality for myself, you know?
So what was it like when you come back, you open your email and you have all these emails and you're going mm-hmm. through it, and then it's like back to work and you still have this tiny human that you're having to focus on 24/7. What's the balance?
So I will say, you know, everyone's different, because some people take longer to get back to work. Some people want to get back into work right away. I took just over 3.5 months of maternity leave, and that felt like really good for me. Mm-hmm. I had friends before tell me you have to take 6 months, or some friends like you know, you're going to want to go back faster or whatever. It's just so different for everybody. For me, that was a really good time. And I'm so fortunate that I found somebody who I really love to take care of him during the week. And that has been such a blessing. And the best thing to come from COVID for me is the fact that I get to work from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have like an office at my house, and, you know, the nanny is taking care of him during the day. But like before each nap, I go in and just like, hey, Mateo, I'm here. I love you. Give him a kiss. Like, you know, like just show him I'm still there. And then go back to work, you know? So I like get to see him all the time. And I was, and also once I'm done with work, I'm there, you know, I don't have to drive home an hour. So I know I'm like super fortunate in that, but I was talking to my mom, and my mom, she was working in downtown LA when I was born, and my parents lived in the Valley. It would take her an hour and a half to get home from work, and she would get home at 6:30 at night and dinner and go to bed, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so lucky that I'm able to work from home.
Yeah.
So I think for me, going back to work was very much welcomed. I was excited to not talk about poopy diapers. I was excited to like get a little bit of myself back. And, you know, just exercise a different part of my brain that I hadn't been for the last 3-4 months. So for me, I was really excited to go back to work. But also, I think if I wasn't working from home, I would be an absolute basket case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even just being in a different room, I'm still looking at the freaking security cameras and like his like little monitor in his room. I'm like, okay, he's there, he's alive. You know, like it's just as a mom, your focus like just is always, he's never not in my brain. You know what I mean? Like even when I'm going out like to dinner or something like that, if I am able to go on a date night or something, I'm like, John has told me many times, put your phone away. I'm like, I just want to make sure he's still there. That's it, you know? But it just never goes away. Mark, this many years later.
I got one going to college next year, but I'm looking at Life 360, making sure she's okay and where she's supposed to be. Yeah, for sure.
What is Life 360?
It's
an app, right?
Yeah, it's a helicopter parent app that allows you to track your kids. I mean, I can get my kids and find my iPhone because we have a family plan with Apple. But Life 360 tells you how fast they're going in their car. It alerts you when they arrive at their destination.
Battery life too, right?
Their battery life on their phone. Allie's at 8%. Better have her charge her phone. Yeah, that stuff. Yeah.
Honey is about to have this on Robbie.
Could you imagine? I'm like, slow down, babe.
It's creepy until it's not, right? Yeah. Like, you know, it's creepy that I'm looking at my phone all the time and just looking at the monitor. But also it's what if, you know, like what if an earthquake happens again, you want to make sure your kid's okay. You know, just those little things.
And I also wonder when it's going to stop. You know, when she goes off to college, how much is my wife going to be watching Life 360? And then beyond college, like who knows? At some point, it's got to stop, I think.
Allie is drinking a beer too fast. Alert.
Okay, so let's now talk about
shotgunning.
She's doing a keg stand at the moment.
Okay. All right, that's enough now. It was funny once.
We hit a soft spot. Okay, I want to talk about the actual birth.
Okay, oof.
I know.
What do you want to know?
I feel like you're going to tell it to us like real.
This feels like something we should come back for.
Okay, yeah.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than the mom stuff she did for me. The laundry, cooking, and driving. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood.
My mom moved to the United States of America, did not know English, learned English, rode her bike to Long Beach State to get her degree so that she could... I mean, she is literally like my hero. My shiro. Yeah.
Shiro, for my shiro. Sure. That's amazing. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending my mom farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets.
And we got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so that you can send some too.
Here's why we love the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you can't find anywhere else.
Bouqs is simple. You go online, pick a delivery date, and you're done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code SCRUBBING for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
All right, we're back. So Tanya's ready to get into...
I want to know the nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty.
Because I feel like every time I watch somebody on Instagram that's like having a baby, it's like, what's in my hospital bag? And it's like these cute little outfits and like this lipstick and stuff. And I'm like, this doesn't seem to me like it's actually the reality of what's going on. So like, give us the real deal. Like, what are you packing? Like, what did you need to pack for the hospital? Did you rip like all the stuff?
I mean, I'll tell it all to you. So I kind of went into birth a little half backwards. Like I was crossing my, the thought of labor petrified me.
Me too.
And I was crossing my fingers that my son would be breached so that I can have a C-section. Wow. Like I literally was like, please.
But most people don't want a C-section.
I know.
Right?
I know. Exactly. That's my point. But for me, I was just like, please make me have to have a C-section. Like I just wanted to go in and know the day that I was going to deliver and that I'm having surgery and all that kind of stuff. And I do know that that is like a treacherous path. Like that is the women that have gone through C-sections, it is a recovery and a half. It's just so gnarly. But for me and my OCD brain, like I liked the fact of, okay, this is the date that you go in and you know, whatever. So 3 weeks before my due date, my doctor was like, if he doesn't flip by this time, then we're going to have a C-section. I was like, okay, great. Like, no problem. Sounds good. I go into that appointment and he freaking flipped. And she was like, you can have a natural birth. We're so excited. Isn't this amazing? And I just looked at her. I was like, oh my gosh, no. Like this. Oh. But looking back on it, I went into labor being completely terrified, and it didn't help that he was almost a week late. So I had like all these, I was just ready for it mm-hmm. to just happen already and just kept waiting. When it came to the actual labor, it was gnarly. I'm not gonna lie. Like it was the whole like contractions and all that kind of stuff. I went into the hospital and my nurse was like, okay, well, you're, you know, just under 4 centimeters dilated. Do you want an epidural? And I was like, yeah, I want an epidural. Like, give it to me now. So she's like, okay, great. She's like, it takes about 30 minutes for them to come, you know, come to your room. So just hang in there. Like, okay. She comes back 30 minutes later and she is literally scrubbed head to toe. Like she's in scrubs, head to toe, like hairnet on, like the full thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to tell me I'm going to have an emergency C-section. Like, why is she? She literally looked like she was in a hazmat suit. And she was like, okay, Danielle, a little bit of bad news. You're going to have to wait for an epidural. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, we have two emergencies on the floor right now that the anesthesiologist has to cater to. So you're going to have to wait. Like, you're not an emergency. So I waited 2 hours for an epidural. And for our listeners that are listening right now that have gone through this, I went from 4 centimeters to just about 6 centimeters without an epidural. And that is gnarly. Like, women that have had that have natural births without any kind of drugs or anything like that, like, I tip my hat off to you. You are miracle women in my eyes. Like, oh my goodness. But the second I got the epidural, I was flying high. Like, it was great. I was cracking jokes with any nurse that came in. Like, I was just like, today's the best day ever. It also helped that, like, my anesthesiologist was like the cutest ever. I was like, it's lovely. He was really cute. I even told John, I was like, he's so cute.
Did you feel the epidural needle?
Honestly, I didn't. I didn't, but I think because I was having such bad contractions that nothing was more painful than that.
People feel that needle?
It's like this big.
It's a needle into your spine.
It's huge. It's massive. I didn't feel anything.
But that tells you how much pain the contractions are, that you don't feel the needle into your spine.
Didn't feel anything. Nothing.
Sorry to go back. Why did you go to the hospital in the first place? Did your water break?
So I had a scheduled induction. And so our plan was always to go to the hospital that day, but I ended up going into labor that morning of my scheduled induction date. So yeah, that's why.
You're just feeling the contractions.
Yeah.
Your water didn't break.
It didn't break. No.
By the way, just a side little story. My wife, when she got her epidural, it was an older doctor training a younger doctor on how to do an epidural, and it didn't take.
That's not... You don't want anybody training to do anything.
No. Training?
No,
can't you
trainee.
Say, like, I don't want a training doing?
We thought, as people know what they're doing. We'd never had a baby before, and so it didn't work. And so she felt everything. They came back and did it again later, but very quickly after that, we went into they removed us from wherever we were into a different room. She felt everything is what I'm trying to say.
No.
For the first one, yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
Dang is right.
I'd be so mad.
She wasn't happy.
Yeah. But some people that get the epidural, it just doesn't work on them either. Like, that is a very real thing.
Because they're, like, so hard, like, they can take
or it. Or it just doesn't hit the right nerve. I don't know. But yeah, like in Mark's wife's case.
Can you describe what a contraction feels like? Where does it...
Like,
cramps. Where all does it hurt?
Like... It depends what stage you're in. In the beginning, it's like your cramps times 10, and then they just get worse, and then your back gets involved. And when your back gets involved, it's like all hell breaks loose. That's when it hurts so bad, because it's not only that cramp that you're used to feeling in like your uterus, but it's also your entire back. Like, just...
So ill.
Think of like a muscle spasm, like all of that in your lower back and in your uterus, just all of that area.
And it's because the baby's like coming down into
and putting so much pressure.
Feel weak.
It's so gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, when it happened, were you like, I just did that?
So there's a couple funny things, because I had my mom and my husband with me, and I love my mom so much. And if she listens to this, I'm saying this with like all love in my heart. I love you so much. And thank you so much for being there for me. She was like, I almost cussed her out. I'm not going to lie. She was, I had one guideline for both of them. Like, don't look below. Like, don't look. You're paying attention to me. Don't look down there. Like, please. The doctor was like, oh, your baby has hair. And my mom literally was like, oh my God. And just like totally looked down there. I'm like, oh. So that was strike number one. Strike number two, she was like, this was like game time, like pushing hard. A baby is almost out. And I look over, my mom's texting, and I'm like, Yolanda, who are you texting? That is more important than me right now. And she's like, everyone's just asking me what's going on. I just want to give them updates. I was like, I don't care about them. Put your phone away. Like, you are not allowed to have your phone. And then after that, it was fine. But she was in charge of taking photos. And oh my God, John, when we look at my camera roll, John and I are just, we just cry laughing because they're the most unflattering in the entire world. I look like I'm miserable, which I was, and about to die. Like, it was just, but at the end of the day, like, I'm so happy I had my mom there. Cause when I got the epidural, or right before, cause you're allowed to like keep pressing for your epidural. I think I got to the point where I had too much in me and I just started like shaking uncontrollably. And that was really scary. And John was like, is she okay? Is she having a seizure? Like, I just like had no control of my limbs. And that happened to my mom. So my mom was like, this is just a reaction to the epidural. Everything's fine. This happened to me. So, you know, having having her there who had gone through it was very comforting.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, because that would freak me out too. If I started shaking, I'd be like, what's happening to me? Am I?
And you also like, you can feel, but you can't feel at the same time, you know? So you're like, all these limbs that I can't feel are just shaking and you're just, you know, you're just waiting for this little kid to pop out. But yeah.
Damn.
I know. But then he came and he was luckily like no complications. The one thing that was scary, you know, right before you're about to push, the doctor's like, okay, you know, like a couple more pushes and he's there. And all these like nurses just come rushing in. And there's like these like eight strangers in the room that you've never seen before, just looking at your hoo-ha and just like standing by, just nodding their heads. And, you know, they're there just in case anything happens to, you know, check all the things like the breathing and his vitals and all that kind of stuff. But then, yeah, once the baby comes out, that was just like a complete rush. He was plopped right on top of my chest. And again, I'm shaking so bad that like, I'm just like trying to hold on, but also completely enamored that like, you know, and I just remember John being like, he has your feet. I'm like, oh my God, he has my feet. You know, just like the weirdest things, like you just start to notice. And that was just surreal because there's all these just people running around, like just making sure, you know, like one nurse was like sucking mucus out of his nose and another one was wiping him off. While all this while like on top of
and
my chest.
And what are they doing to you?
So your legs are so
just open.
Yeah, your legs are still open. You still have to deliver your placenta. So like that was another push that I like within 20 minutes, you usually deliver your placenta. So you're not done with your birth at all.
What? You have to push out the placenta?
Yeah. Do you guys want to see what it looks
like? Does it hurt?
No, it doesn't. That doesn't hurt because it's just this like slimy thing.
Do you eat that? Or people eat that, right?
People do. They like, they like dry it out.
Did you do that?
I didn't. No, but I did take a picture of it.
I'm so curious how it tastes.
No, you don't. I can even tell you. You put it in pills.
Oh, you don't just like fry it up?
Tonight I'm having placenta. How about you? No, it's like these like little capsules that they can like make turn it into and stuff.
Yawn.
Yeah. But like, but to that point, you have this like baby on top of you and you're trying to, you know, just understand what just happened to you. And while this is all happening, your doctor's still delivering your placenta. If you tore, they're stitching you up. And also like you have a nurse that's just like digging into your uterus and like just taking all the, cause they have to get all the stuff out. So like, they're just like basically like massaging, but really it's like somebody is like really pushing into your abdomen to get all the stuff out.
Hurt cause you're at the epidural still?
You felt it. It was like super.
Hurt my wife real bad.
Yeah. It was, you know, super, like it was a lot of pressure, but I was just so overwhelmed. Like, I had this one nurse like really digging into my stomach, my doctor stitching me up. I have the baby on top of me. They're trying to like make me breastfeed the baby, you know, just to start that. They're just checking his vitals. They're checking my vitals. Like all this stuff is happening. It's a big tornado of just chaos, but it's also so beautiful at the same time, you know? at that moment, you're holding your baby, like,
right,
you know.
That is so wild.
Okay, so you get home.
By the way, your faces aren't great either.
I'm sorry.
You two might actually have to do this one day.
I will, God willing, do this very soon. So that's why I'm like asking all the questions, because I don't believe what I see on Instagram.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, like when Sophia Richie announced that she was pregnant and had that photo shoot, I'm like, God bless her. She looks so beautiful. I did not look like that a day in my pregnancy.
Yes, you did. We saw you were gorgeous.
But like what you see on Instagram, no. I mean, even like back to your question about the hospital bag, I followed like so many influencers that had all these things. Well, you should put in your hospital bag. And I did it all. I even took a pink Himalayan salt lamp because I heard that's like...
Oh my God.
Which, by the way,
for
everyone listening, that was probably my favorite thing I packed.
Whoa.
I would actually highly encourage that, because instead of, you know, those like bright white lights in the room being on, we had like a pink glow in our room. It was nice.
Relaxing.
It was very relaxing.
That sounds so unnecessary.
It was amazing. It was honestly probably the best thing I packed. I did not touch any, like, even they have a going home outfit for your baby, a going home outfit for mom. I said, screw the going outfit for my mom, for me. I'm just wearing the most comfortable shirt I can find. And same with my baby. I didn't even put the baby in a going home outfit. I just like ditched all of that. Just all of it.
Just get us home.
Get us home. Yeah. Get us home.
What was your comfort? What was your comfort like thing that you did while you were home? So like when he was sleeping and you were resting, were you watching TV shows? Were you reading? What were you doing?
Oh my God. I'm a Bravo freak and I was behind months. Like, I think I just slowly started watching shows again. Honestly, nothing really. There wasn't like TV I was watching or anything like that. It's kind of crazy. You're like sucked into this vortex where 24 hours a day is you're doing something you've never done before.
Yeah.
You know, so like whether it's breastfeeding or changing a diaper or just trying to get sleep. Like, I honestly, the comfort was like trying to get some sleep.
Yeah.
You know, like really, when you're not fully focused on this kid, like either my husband or I were taking turns just sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Man. The sleep part feels overwhelming.
Yeah.
Are y'all in a routine now where he's sleeping? Like, are you getting sleep now?
Yeah.
Okay.
God bless. He's sleeping through the night. He's sleeping through the night and he's great, and he goes down around like 7:30 and wakes up around 6. So, I mean,
what a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's
a dream. Who are the people like that you followed, or books that you read, or like Instagram people that you followed, or podcasts that you listened to that actually you feel like gave you good tips on pregnancy?
Yeah.
Birth.
I have this book, Moms on Call, and people that have babies will automatically know what that is. And if you don't, get their book. It's basically this like tiny book that okay, your baby has a fever. This is what you do. You know, like no frills, nothing. It's just a little baby guide. And it also has, you know, sleep schedules, things like that to try to get your baby on routine. And I just follow that religiously and I swear by it. There are some Instagram. Actually, this one girl, she's right here in Studio City. I want to get her Instagram right. Wilder Beginnings. She had her baby the day after me.
Oh, wow.
So I have been following her, and she just is not your Instagram influencer. Mm-hmm. She just shows you that her baby didn't sleep through the night, is throwing up all over her, has a rash, you know, like all the things that are actually happening to me, you know. And she just, there's no filter. It's just all her and what's actually happening in their lives. And that, you know, was really helpful for me, because for a second, and we can talk about this, but like the one thing I was the most worried about going into maternity leave was having postpartum depression. That was the one thing I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to get that. Like, I don't know why. I was just very anxious about getting that. I was pleasantly surprised that I the second he was born, I immediately gravitated towards my baby, and that's not the case for a lot of people. So I felt that love there, and I was very, very much drawn to him. I loved being a mom. I loved the new normal. I loved how my life has shifted like that. I wasn't mourning the loss of my old life. But the one thing that was like incredibly hard for me that was not on my bingo card is when my husband went back to work. Mm. Oh. I was so not ready for that. For a month, that first month, which is the hardest month, you know, you're trying to get used to having a baby and get used to feeding and all that kind of stuff, was honestly kind of fine for me because I had my partner and it was a teamwork mentality, you know, okay, you do the diaper, I'll do the feed, you go to sleep, I'll go to sleep. You know, it was just very much like I had my partner in this and we were tackling it together and it was amazing and we're just trying to figure this out, the chaos of it all. But the second he went back to work, I felt very left behind. I could get like emotional talking about it. But it was like the one time in like the pregnancy and the maternity leave where I felt that like it was just me. And I knew that wasn't the case. I knew I had my husband. I knew I could call my mom. I knew I had my son and all that kind of stuff. But I felt like he went back to work and he got himself back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was still just in the trenches by myself. Mm-hmm. And that was like really hard for me. And I think during that time, you expect your partner to be like a mind reader and like to, yeah. to understand what's going on. And like, oh yeah, I need to give Danielle some kind of love or whatever. But we fell into this like routine where he would come home from work and be like, oh God, I'm so tired. I'm like, you sure aren't tired? I'm tired. You know, you know, like just having that anxiety. If something were to happen when I'm watching him by myself, it's on me.
Right.
You know, so you feel this like overwhelming sense of like pressure, but also like pressure by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had to have this like we had a conversation. I was like, look, I'm struggling right mm-hmm. now. Like, I feel very alone. I feel very left behind. I feel like you're finally getting back to, you know, you're having conversations with normal people and yeah. you're socializing. You get to go out of the house. You get to put on an outfit, you know, but like here I am. I could barely get to take a shower. I'm eating with one hand 24/7 because you only have one hand because you're carrying the baby in the other hand. Like naps are not a thing, you know, like when they're napping, you're pumping or washing your bottles or, you know, whatever. Like there's no break for mom at all. Mm-hmm. And it just made me realize, like, for everyone that's a stay-at-home mom that is listening right now, your job never ends. It is 24/7 and I literally want to give you guys the biggest hug because it's the hardest job out there. Oh my God, beyond. Hardest job is being a stay-at-home mom.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than the mom stuff she did for me. The laundry, cooking, and driving. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood.
My mom moved to the United States of America, did not know English, learned English, rode her bike to Long Beach State to get her degree so that she could, I mean, she is literally like my hero, my shiro. Yeah.
Shiro, for my shiro. Sure. That's amazing. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending my mom farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets.
And we got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so that you can send some too.
Here's why we love the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you can't find anywhere else.
Bouqs is simple. You go online, pick a delivery date, and you're done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to books.com and use promo code SCRUBBING for 25% off. That's BOUQS.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Books.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
How long was that time that, so John went back to work?
Yeah.
And then how long were you until you went back to work? Two more months?
Yeah. So he went back to work a month after, and then, yeah, it was about like two and a half months.
But then when you finally opened up to him and like told him how you were feeling, how did you guys work on that?
So I told him, I was just like, I feel like my only identity is taking care of him, which I'm more than happy to do. But like, I am so resentful and so jealous that you get to do something else and still get to be Mateo's dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm only Mateo's mom right now. Like, that's all I am. Like, because at that point, you're not clear to work out. You're not clear to, you know, do a lot of things. So once I got cleared to work out, that was kind of like my thing. So John would get home from work, no questions asked. He had to take the baby for an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, no questions asked. Get home, here's the baby. I'm going on a walk. I'm going on a run. I'm doing something for myself. So that was like my one rule, that when I got, or when he got home from work, I needed to do something just for Danielle, just, you know, whatever that meant. I had to do it for my own mental sanity. And even if that just meant watching TV, you know, like whatever, just something where I can just do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And then another rule that we had was, if I'm nursing the baby, if I'm changing his diaper, whatever, you need to do something else to let the work like be done. Like, that sounds weird, but like, if I'm putting down the baby, wash the bottles so that once I'm done putting down the baby, we can watch TV together, you know? Like, the job's not done until both of our jobs are done.
Like, lighten the load while I'm doing one thing.
Exactly. So that was like another turning point for us. Like, the second I put down the baby, I wanted to be able to just like,
you're done,
just having some rest and not having to go into the kitchen and make the bottles for the next day or clean all the bottle parts or the pumping parts, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, coming back out and having a clean kitchen was the big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that you have a partner that wants you. I know that feeling of like, when I'm expecting Haley to read my mind of like, she should know that I need a little extra something. And like, knowing that you have a partner that you, once you communicated that, that it was like, here's well what received. I need. Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, like, I'm going to make this time for me and I need you to like be my teammate.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And it was like this like weird guilt, because I acknowledged that I was jealous of the fact that he was able to be outside of the house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for me, I'm like, I'm a new mom. I should love this. You know, like, I should love like, being around him 24/7, and I do, but at a certain point you also need time for yourself.
Yeah.
And he was getting that 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. Yeah. You know?
And he's like, I'm exhausted. And you're like, I'm so exhausted. And it's like, again, it doesn't end.
And again, he's valid to be tired.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like, he also wasn't sleeping at night and had to go to work. But you don't say that to me.
Yeah. Wrong audience.
Text your friend. Yeah.
No, I always say I think that being a stay-at-home mom is the hardest job that someone could have.
Like, oh my God.
Even when I used to nanny, I would, you know, nanny for 8 hours and then they'd come home and I'd go back to my, you know, life. And it's so exhausting. They weren't my kids, but it was exhausting. And I'm like, if it's just you and them, my sister has five kids.
Yeah,
she's a stay-at-home
so
mom.
Wild.
And my mom did it too. And I was like, how do you not like...
Yeah.
She's a teacher now. I'm like, how are you around kids anymore? I'd be like,
I'm done.
But I'm just like so impressed and wowed by you because I feel like you are such a grounded person and I feel like you're patient and you were made to be a mom, but you're also such a successful career woman. And I'm so happy you have an amazing partner and you've like navigated this with so much grace and honesty too and vulnerability because I do think we see on Instagram and I think more than ever social media is you're hearing more about the real parts more than ever, but it still can look very glossy.
No. And that's why like I really was excited to have you on because I think I mean I've known you forever and I just feel like I really value you. I value what you say, what you've done because I just feel like you are all those things. Like you're a great person, you're a great mom, you're a great worker. And so I just like was really interested to hear kind of your story and like learn from you. But I also wanted to know if you could do anything differently. Would you do something different? And what would it be?
I don't think I would do anything differently, but I would just want to remind myself that each day is a new day. So if you had the most amazing day with your baby, everything is going right according to plan, exactly how you want it to happen, and then the next day it doesn't, it's okay. You know, a baby is a baby. That I think that was the one thing that I was like so hard on myself. What did I do today that didn't make Mateo sleep on time? Or like, you know, I was just like constantly second guessing everything. Like, why is today such a bad day? Some days babies have bad days. Mm-hmm. Some days they don't want to go down for their nap. Sometimes they don't want to eat when you want them to eat. Like, that was the one thing I just realized is like, they're never going to be on my schedule and I have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, but just, you know, you are thankful for the good days, but also don't be so hard on yourself on the bad days. Mm-hmm. It's all just a constant journey and you just take it day by day. That's it.
Does Mateo have a Nook or a Binky pacifier?
Oh, yeah.
I have a tip only because my wife came up with this and it's so genius.
Did you
and
take it
really
away?
Helped us up. Yes, but I'm getting to that. Oh. So what she did was because in the crib, my daughter would lose the, what do you call it?
We call it a choopy.
Okay. She would lose the choopy in the corners of the mattress.
Yeah.
And then she'd get up and cry and scream till we came in. She also had a lovey. Does he have a lovey?
He doesn't have one yet, but we have them. He hasn't gravitated.
So the lovey is a little teddy bear head on the blanket, a blanket with a teddy bear head on it. And so she tied the, what is it? Choopy?
Choopy.
She tied the choopy to the corner, to one of the corners of the blanket on the lovey. That way it's not going to get stuck down the mattress. And so we'd see her on the monitor.
You know they have those now where...
Oh, they're built like that
well,
now?
The pacifiers have like a stuffed animal attached to it.
Oh, we should have had that. We'd be a millionaire.
Sorry.
But we'd see her. We'd look around for it and then she'd find the stuffed animal and then she'd go corner. There it is. Pop back in her mouth and go right back to sleep without bothering anybody.
Yeah.
But the great thing is then when it was time to give up the choopy, it wasn't about her giving up the choopy. Lovey. It's time for Lovey to give up the choopy.
Oh, that's so cute.
And you need to be there for Lovey to help him through this. And it was a very smooth process with both kids because if you do it that way, it just seemed to work much better. So New Moms is my wife's 100% credit. Totally her idea. And it worked so beautifully.
That's
how
smart.
How old were they when they started? Three.
Ooh, dark. Yeah.
Feels early, huh? Yeah. Well.
We're trying to transition him to his own room right now, which I think this weekend it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in the room with you?
Yeah,
yeah, they stay in like a bassinet or...
Yeah.
Did not know.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. How has the dog handled the shift of attention?
So Boots is 16 years old. Or no, 15. Sorry. He's 15 years old. He could care less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He looks at the baby. Sometimes he'll sniff him. And sometimes he'll give him a little lick. And then just walks away and just minds his own business. We were actually really nervous about him, like when we were to bring the baby home and the crying, how he was going to adjust to that. He just kind of like buries himself into his bed and just like, it's like, okay, here we are. Yeah. He just, you know, looks and gives him some attention, but keeps his distance. Yeah.
He's like, this isn't mine to take care of. I'm the oldest baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Danielle, we love you. Thank you so much for scrubbing in. Thank you for steering this ship.
Mm-hmm. And so many podcasts.
So many podcasts.
Which one's your favorite?
Scrubbing In.
Just for people who don't know, like, what are, like, name some of the podcasts, because I feel like people listen to
know her from I Am All In. Oh. She is an actual personality on I Am All In, Gilmore Girls Rewatch
you
podcast.
You don't need to listen to that.
Yes, you do. Yes, he do.
She's on it, and she's excellent on it.
No, we do like Drama Queens and Pod Meets World, I Am Paris, what else? Easton, help me. Bethany Frankel's slate of shows, Suckers. There's a lot.
Busy. We have a busy group of people in this room.
Wind Down with Janet Kramer, OMG, Amy and TJ.
When Amy Sugarman and Easton and I were involved at the beginning when we started these podcasts in 2017. And a couple of years later, did you start when? 19 you came back?
Yeah, 19.
And Amy said to me, guess who's coming back to work on the podcast? And I said, I have no idea. She goes, no, you have to guess. I said, well, how am I going to guess? I don't know. And Amy goes, who's our favorite person? And I said, Danielle Rose coming back to the podcast? And
I had asked Amy for a referral for a different job. Oh. And she's like, are you looking for a job? And I was, well, I'm looking for this job. And she's like, well, I have a different job. I'm like, okay. And here I am.
Here she is in all her glory.
We're very grateful for you. Thank you for sharing, and we love you. We're so proud of you and happy for you. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, we love you so much.
Love you.
And we love you guys. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Be back next week. Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
21 Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by 2 sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all of the latest spring trends.
Yes. At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops.
And it's spring, so you know Ross has savings on sundresses.
And don't forget the sandals. From slides to wedges, find brand name sandals for less. Ross always has those for the low.
And there's always a reason for a new purse at this price. Deals on handbags? Yeah. Hold my purse.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself.
Believe me, your wallet will thank you. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.